There's a misconception that you need to see the spirit realm to interact with it. On an unconscious level, you interact with it every day. When you encounter that world, you discover there are beings, names, powers, keys, territories, postures, languages, dignitaries, their laws. Every activity you do strikes a chord in time, but the activities linked to your call that strike a chord in eternity.
From the books of old and the new, the throne room of God and the divine secrets of the spirit, higher dimensions, near-death experiences, the spiritual realm, dreams and visions, plus much more. The RDM podcast explores it all and awakens you to secrets and deeper realms. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Daniel Malinga.
Hello, everybody. This is yours truly, Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Glad to be back. Welcome to the third episode of the second season of the RDM podcast. I'm not alone in the studio. We have more audience than usual. I want them to say hi.
Hey guys, McLean here. New week, new podcast. Good to be here.
Hello everyone, and Abati Emmanuel. Great to be here.
Hello people, I'm Eric. Honored to be here.
Hello people, it's Maria. Glad to be here.
Hi everyone, this is Albert. Happy to be back.
All right, you can see we're almost full, but we're going to be diving into the depths and secrets of the kingdom of God. I hope you're ready. Listen in. All right, last week we went into some very interesting stuff, did we not, Maki?
Yes, we did.
For yeah, sure, we discussed, went through the book of Job.
Yeah.
And we tapped into a number of mysteries. And did we go further than chapter one?
No, we did not go further than chapter one.
We did hint on a few other chapters. But I don't think we're ever going to have the time to go through all 42 chapters of the book of Job. But what I would like to emphasize is this, is that I would encourage you, if you're listening and if you're not lazy, to take time and search through the secrets that are deep within the book of Job. And you'll find that it's not a normal book. It's Job is a book of mysteries. To me, it's a book of mysteries. You will find that in it dwell mysteries that till this very day, theologians and preachers and men of God are still diving through, trying to scan through, find out their meaning. Yeah? Hmm. Take, for example, you will find in the book of Job discussions about mystical animals. You've heard of Leviathan and Behemoth. There's even talk of unicorns. Okay? In the book of Job, you will find a mysterious talk about books in heaven. Job actually talks about specific, he implies that there are books in heaven. How he knows that, we do not necessarily know, but I know that he was a prophetic man and a spiritual man. We also know that the book of Job talks about constellations in the realm of, in the second heavens. It talks about constellations at that time that men had not yet come to public knowledge. In this time and age, he talks about Orion. Orion is a constellation. He talks about Pleiades, I hope I've pronounced it properly. And so you will find that the book of Job is a book of deep, deep mysteries. And if you're to read through it, you will find that the Lord will open up to you an understanding of the universe from beyond the normal capacity for men to comprehend. You need revelation. Now, while the book of Job has very many themes to it, we're going to go back to it again, because I want to set a foundation for something. Last week I did say that we're going to be talking about, we're going to be sharing a podcast on spiritual espionage, but then I realized that we're going to have to set a foundation even before we go into that, because if I just jumped into it, people might get lost. So, I want you to understand that while the book of Job has very many themes to it, there are minor themes, and for me, one of the minor themes is knowledge. Now, please understand that knowledge is very, very crucial, not only in the realm of men, but also in the realm of the spirits, in the spiritual realm. whoever has knowledge, especially in battle, especially in war, has an advantage. So it's about accumulating as much information as possible and having as much knowledge as possible about your enemy. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so that's why the Bible says, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. All right? You read through scripture that the Bible initially begins with knowledge. There's a tree of knowledge of good and bad. And there's a tree of life. Now, it doesn't say that the tree of life is a tree of knowledge, but it is. Life is a kind of knowledge in and of itself. So there's a knowledge that is attached to life, and there's a knowledge that is attached to good and bad. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Then you go along through scripture, you will find that there is a, the Bible says, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Okay, that's a decree towards the last days, which days we're in now. Then, if you look in Revelation chapter 2, the Bible then goes on to say that ultimately, after all things have been restored, okay? Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, to know God is eternal life. So those that were in Christ Jesus, we will have eternal life, which according to scripture is linked to knowledge of God. Okay, so the Bible begins with knowledge. Even as we get to the end times, it's knowledge based, and even towards the end of all things and culminating into all things, knowledge is important, the knowledge of God. All right, you're with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that means that whenever there's a war, ignorance is a major burden. If you're ignorant about something, in the realm of the spirit or in the realm of men, you've put yourself at a disadvantage. That's why spirits and human beings, okay, dare not find themselves in a place of ignorance. And that's why before we closed the other podcast, I was explaining that we are watched.
Yes.
The enemy watches us because he's trying to accumulate information. But at the same time, God also watches us. The same time, also the elements watch us. I talked about the elements. Remember what I talked about the elements?
Yeah, the sun and the moon.
The sun, the moon, but there's also the stars, even water. Water, there's trees. The elements watch us. These things that are around us, you know, if you look through scripture, God did not create living and non-living things. He created living things.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So the understanding then is that knowledge is being accumulated from all corners of the spiritual realm and the natural realm. You're with me? Which brings me now, we're going to go to the book of Job, chapter 1. Yeah. We're going to go back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And we're going to read it again. And I'm going to lay a few foundations again. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Job chapter 1 from verse 1.
All right.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East.
Okay, I want you to understand something. So we went through this last week.
Yes.
But I can assure you we can go through it 4 times and each time you'll find something different. I can assure you. It says here there was a man in the land of Uz. We explained that the land of Uz was in a particular area, ancient Babylon, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You've read it. And says there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. I don't want to go into that. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses. Very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, I need you to understand something. I explained in the last podcast that when the enemy, the Bible says that the enemy is like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. And he walks to and fro looking for whom he may devour. He does. Listen, on earth right now, there's 7 billion people on the face of this earth. All right? When there's 7 billion people, you don't have to roam to look around for whom to devour, right? Because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So if the devil is roaming, looking for whom to devour, he's looking for specific people. This scripture does not apply to everyone. If you look through the Bible, there are people who demons oppress. There are people who the devil goes for directly. Himself. Okay? Now, in the Bible, there are a number of people that the devil went for himself. One, can you mention one?
A job.
A job, okay, fine, that's cheating. All right. Huh? Who else? Look through scripture.
Daniel.
Huh? Did the devil go for Daniel? No, he didn't go for him directly.
The Prince of Persia.
Yeah? No, the Prince of Persia is not the devil. A Prince of Persia is a spirit over Persia. All right? A principality over Persia. But Jesus, yes, the devil went directly, okay, for him. Eh? So there are people in scripture that the devil directly goes for. Paul himself, he said, but the devil, okay, a messenger, the messenger, Satan, was sent to buffet him. Eh? Okay? So there's Paul, there's Jesus, there's Job. So it's not just everyone that the devil goes for directly. Now, here we are. I want to point out why the devil is going for Job and what he looks for directly, because he would have sent a minion, a minion spirit. Job here, first of all, scripture says that he was a man in the land of Uz. It gives us a territory. Uz is the territory, right? Then it says he was the greatest of all the men in the east. So now the territory has increased. Are you right?
Yeah.
It's not just Job's importance within the land of Uz. His extension extends to the entire east. Are you with me?
Yes.
Then you read on. When the devil comes before God, God says, there is none like him in all the earth. Are you with me? Okay? So first, he stands out in the land of Uz.
Yes.
Then he stands out in the east. Then he stands out
in the whole
earth. Now, please understand that Job, this is what you call a man of stature in the spirit. When a person is great on earth and great in the heavenlies, they have stature. Remember when the Bible says of John that he shall have favor before men and before God. All right? Job had that. You're with me so far?
Yeah.
So, he's a man who on earth, all men can see his greatness by his wealth. Right? But then in the realm of the spirit, God is also attributing a greatness to him. Okay? And that greatness means that Job was a man of stature. Read for me Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14. I'll show you.
Ezekiel 14:14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God.
Okay, this is a chapter. In it, God is speaking to Ezekiel, and he's talking about a city that has sinned. And he says, though these three men were in that city, they would only save their souls. And he mentions the three men. Who are the three men?
Noah, Daniel, and Job.
Now, the reason why he mentions those three men is because they had an ability to move the heart of God. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
That means they had grown in stature, in intercession, in such a way that if they knelt down to pray, they could move the heart of God. And the reason why God brings them out here is saying this city has sinned so much that even if these three decided to pray, they would only save
themselves.
So Job had rank. He's not just a person who was offering sacrifices. He was an intercessor. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Though the Bible itself only focuses on the fact that he interceded on behalf of his children and his family. All right? But from Exodus, from Ezekiel 14:14, we know that he was an intercessor beyond that. Okay? So the territory, you know, let me explain something. In the realm of the spirit, biblically, the anointing flows from the head downwards. The Bible says, when the righteous prosper, the city
rejoices.
And so you need to understand that the devil had access to a lot in the earth, except the territory where Job was. And in order to have access not only to Job and his family, but to the territory, you need to take down the principality. Now, principalities are not just demonic. Principalities can be divine.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
So here, Job was a principality. Now, please understand the principalities. A person can be a principality in the area of their call. So, for example, if someone is called to be a footballer, who's the greatest footballer on earth right now?
That's a debatable subject, but maybe Ronaldo and Messi.
Messi, okay. So, so both of them right now are principalities. Within the confines of their calling or their activity, they are principalities. You understand?
True.
So everyone else within that confined, called to that area, is under them.
True. True.
And you understand?
Yes.
And so if they're not Christians and you're a footballer, you need to either connect or dethrone. If they're Christians or if they're not Christians, you either connect or dethrone in order to take over. Okay?
Yes.
I would show you there's a something that messed me up. In the year, oh gosh, remind me, Lord, 2011. Oh my God, I'm sitting with people who are not footballers. Albert is a footballer. Albert watches football. I'm going to explain if you're listening to me out there. In the year 2011, something interesting happened. There was a footballer called Fernando Torres. He used to play for Chelsea. When he joined Chelsea from Liverpool, in Liverpool he was a prolific scorer. He joined Chelsea and for some reason he just could not score like he used to. In 2011, it was a Champions League match against, I could be corrected, but against Galatasaray, I believe. At the beginning of the match, all right, a born-again Christian, a footballer called David Luiz, his teammate, walked over to Fernando Torres, you'll Google this, laid hands on him in front of cameras all over the world,
wow.
and began to pray and lay hands on and speak over him. All right?
Wow.
That day, Fernando Torres scored 2 goals.
Hallelujah. That is ministry.
Okay? So, you go and check this. It's profound. All right?
Wow.
Now, I want you to understand that even in the realm of football, okay, even within the confines of your call, there are principalities. So, there are principalities within the confines of your call. There are principalities in villages. There are principalities in countries. There's a principality for a continent. Are you with me? So just like, let me give you another example. There's an LC1 chairperson within a specific region, wherever you stay. That LC1 person has someone above him, let's say an MP, who is a greater principality than he is based on territory and authority. Then you go further, you have the minister. Then you go further, you have the president. All of them are principalities but have different capacities of authority and depending on the depth and the size of their territory. So even in the realm of the spirit, there are principalities that confine to calls, principalities to villages, principalities to countries, and finally continents. Okay? Interestingly, it's my belief, I stand to be corrected, but the devil himself is the principality of the earth. You understand?
Yes.
He's a principality of source. He's a prince of the power of the air. Okay? Prince of the earth. He took over, though that authority was taken from him, and Christ took back the keys. But he was a principality over the earth. This was his domain.
Yes.
Okay? You're with me so far.
Yes.
Okay? So, Job is a principality in the territory, the land of Uz, and in the whole area of the east. He's a principality. The devil needs the territory. So to take the territory, he needs to take down the man.
Job.
You're with me?
So
far. Okay, we're going on. Then scripture says, it talks about his wealth. It says his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. Now I need you to understand. One day I will teach more. There's a link between the wealth of Job and the wealth of Solomon. There is. Job's wealth, however, is different. It says Job, if you look through the scriptures, was a man who deeply sought wisdom. The whole of Job 28, he's asking, where can wisdom be found? You understand? And if you look through his discourses, he was a wise man. Okay? That wisdom, let me tell you, true wealth, divine, cannot be absent of a wisdom. All right? Solomon had wisdom as well. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you look carefully, the wealth that Job had was mainly things to do with animals.
Yeah, livestock.
Livestock. Mm. Solomon's wealth was deeper. It went underground.
Mm.
Gold, silver, minerals, and the likes. Eh?
Mm.
Okay? We'll talk about this. Eh? But you see, so there's a mystery behind how Job was able to capture the wealth that he had. There's an attraction principle that I will teach on another day.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
So, he's a principality. The devil is watching him. He's looking for information on how to bring him down. Because in the realm of the spirit and in the natural, knowledge and information, especially when you're involved in a war, is extremely important. Now, all that I've said is just laying a foundation. You're going to read ahead. Go ahead. Read from where we stopped.
Okay. Verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cast God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually.
Go on.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them.
Okay. We're going to spend some time here.
Mm.
We're going to spend some time here.
Mm.
Because I want to share on custodians of secrets. Because I need you to understand that there is a battle over knowledge and information on the face of this earth. And it's directly coming from the realm of the spirit.
Mm.
God has things that he keeps as secrets. The Bible talks about, for example, a secret place. Okay? The Bible talks about things in scripture. It talks about the hidden wisdom of God. There are things that God, by nature, has hidden and kept to himself. And only men who go deeper into him can have access to them. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what does it say? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Okay? Mm. Nor has it entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for his people. Then God said, but he has revealed these things to us. Eh? By his Holy Spirit, he has revealed them to us.
Mm.
So there are things that only people that are in God can have access to in God. Okay?
Mm.
So there are secret things that God keeps to himself. That's one.
Mm.
There are secret things that the devil keeps to himself. There's information he tries to confine to specific groups of people. Most of the knowledge that the devil dispels is forbidden knowledge.
Mm.
Especially if you go back from Genesis chapter 6, there's a knowledge that was released on the face of this earth that was forbidden.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
And so angels, fallen angels, taught men ways.
Mm.
Ways to tap into the realm of the spirit, ways to connect. Now, I'm going to show you later why the devil does this the way he does this. So, he deals in forbidden knowledge, especially. People who have attached themselves to the enemy, okay, know how to illegally get out of their bodies. Huh?
Mm.
They know how to illegally move things in the realm of the spirit. They know how to see things in the realm of the spirit, things that they can have access, things that not all men have access to. They know how to capture things and keep them to themselves. Now, it's because of that kind of knowledge that the enemy, as time went on, from Genesis chapter 6, when that forbidden knowledge was dispelled amongst men,
mm.
that as time went on, as men became more and more carnal, that he began to confine this knowledge to a few.
Mm.
You with me so far?
Yeah.
So on this earth, there are men and women of God who are not of God. They are demonic. They work with spirits. They have access to forbidden knowledge.
Mm.
You with me?
Mm.
Then there is the knowledge that men have. Huh? Where, and even the knowledge of men, if we just put aside spirits, divine or demonic, governments keep secrets.
True.
The history that we know, I've taught this before, has been altered on many levels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You will find, I promise you, at some point I'll mention this, but on the face of this earth, there are people who, men who are custodians of secrets, All right? Mm. In heaven, they are custodians of secrets. I've told you God is a custodian of his secrets. I've told you the devil has a custodian of his secrets. There are men who are custodians of secrets on behalf of God. There are men who are custodians of secrets on behalf of the devil.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
Okay? Angels also play a role in being custodians of secrets.
Mm.
I'm going to show it to you. They play a very big role in that. So the devil, on this earth, they are custodians of secrets. People who have tapped into the spiritual realm, divine or demonic, and kept them. Paul talks about in scripture, when he's talking about the divine, he says, you are stewards of the mysteries of God. That's a custodian.
Mm.
Someone who has stepped into something that is secret in the realm of the spirit, and God has told him, now, this is yours. Jesus turning to his disciples, Matthew 13:11, he says, it has been given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
So, there are stewards on this earth that are men of God. You go back and look, they are what we call the Sanusi. Have you ever heard of Sanusi?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I'm just giving you, on this continent, in South Africa, there's a group of people called the Sanusi. Actually, not just South Africa, in all most areas of Africa.
Mm.
The Sanusi are history keepers. They're custodians of ancient secrets. One of them, I wouldn't have wanted to mention it, but I'll mention him anyway.
Mm.
There's a man called Credo Mutwa.
Mm.
None of you know who he is,
mm.
but I do. Credo Mutwa was a man who died in 2020, South Africa. South Africans know him.
Mm.
He was a custodian of secrets of history in South Africa. And he died at the age of 98. He was a spiritualist at Sangoma.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
And the interviews that people have had with him, and he talked about how what he has was handed down to him. There are a group of people on the face of this earth, he said, all over the earth, that ensure that the knowledge that generally, publicly, the world knows, they have another kind of knowledge. They have the true kind of knowledge,
mm.
okay?
Mm.
And so they pass it on to each other to keep it, to be custodians of it.
Mm.
And so you'd find a lot of interviews with him on YouTube when he gives examples of what the actual history of the continent of Africa was.
Mm.
He talks about the actual history of spirituality.
Mm.
He has had encounters with demons, with spirits. There are many things that he says. I have a few problems with him, but you can be sure of this. He gave prophecies that have come to pass.
Mm.
He was a spiritual man.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
So the Sanusi in South Africa were keepers of secrets, and one of them has died.
Mm.
There were actually two left. One is left. Okay?
Mm.
On the face of this earth. So here we are. The devil, there's a day in heaven. All right?
Mm.
First of all, this is not your normal day. Okay?
Yeah.
A day in, because it says, the Bible says, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord.
Mm.
This day is not your normal day down here.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
The scripture talks about specific kinds of days. It talks about the evil day. It talks about the day of the Lord. There are days, the day of visitation. There are days in the realm of the spirit that are not your normal days. So this is one particular day. And it says the sons of God with the devil met God.
Mm.
Now, all that I've been saying is just a foundation.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
You're with me so far, Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What you see here, where the sons of God, and I'll talk about the sons of God some other day, because most people do not understand. They're not just your normal angels.
Mm.
Because to understand who the sons of God were, you need to understand what God means when he calls you a son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say they were angels.
Mm.
There is a statement that God attributes. There's a meaning that he attributes to the statement sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Adam was referred to as a son of God.
Mm-hmm.
I will show you with time that Adam is a son of God. Through scripture, we have become we're made sons of God by virtue of his word bestowed on us. So you need to understand that when God is calling or referring to someone or something as a son of God, he's referring to the fact that he didn't just speak them out. He was actively involved in their creation. Now I need you to understand that Psalms 33 verse 6 says God breathed out the heavenly host.
Yes.
So they're angelic beings that God just simply breathed out. But they're those he calls sons of God. They were not just breathed out. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So there are counsels in the realm of the spirit. There are counsels. What we see here is a council meeting.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now I'm going to show you through the Bible that first of all, this thing is a mystery to me, because I don't know why an all-knowing God would need to have a council. I don't know if you understand. This is a mystery. If there's anyone who can tell me that, I don't understand. Maybe someday the Lord will either reveal it or we shall see it. But throughout scripture, there are signs that there is a council in heaven. Please understand that everything that we see on earth first grabbed itself something from the spirit. So in other words, the spirit is the source. So in the same way, if there are councils here on earth, they came from
heaven,
an original council in heaven. Now please understand, there's not just one council here on earth. The councils are different. There can be a council of war, council of judgment, council of, they're different. I believe in the realm of the spirit, the councils are different. Okay.
Yes.
Now, which takes me now, because we're going deeper into the realm of the spirit and we're analyzing this. I gave you Genesis chapter 18, did I not?
Genesis 18, 20 to 21.
Okay, read it for me.
Yeah, Genesis 18, 20 to 21. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know.
Okay, this thing is deep. This is the story, Genesis chapter 18, where Abraham hosts God. And two men who we now know based on the story were angels. Come with God and eat with Abraham. You with me? Then God tells Abraham, shall I keep secret for my servant Abraham that which I'm going to do? Okay? In other words, he's tapping into that scripture that says the Lord does nothing without first revealing it to his servant.
The prophet.
By the way, that scripture does not apply to everyone. You know, Christians just like, they pick a scripture and they just say, remember the Lord said he cannot do anything without revealing it to us. No, it's not just referring to everyone. There are certain realms in the relationship that you need to reach for that to be true of you.
Yes.
Now, so Abraham is here seated. Three men walk up to him. One of them is God. Now, this is a mysterious event. Extremely mysterious. Because if you look through scripture, the Bible says that God says the cry of Sodom has come unto me. Now remember, how many righteous people were
there in Sodom and Gomorrah at that time?
And yet, God is saying the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah has come unto me.
And is great.
And is great. This is a deep mystery. What was that was crying? Because if we can find what it was that is crying, there's a cry in Uganda that is reaching God.
Yes. It's not about majority.
Are you with me? There is a cry in South Africa. There's a cry in the US that is reaching God. There are things on the face of this earth, even individuals, that can cry out to God irrespective of majority or minority, and it reaches unto God. But I'm going to assure you that this cry was not just of human beings. The Bible says, remember the story when Cain killed Abel?
Yes.
It says, the blood of your brother Abel cries out to me. So the evil that these guys were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah, whenever they spilt blood, it cried.
Yes.
And the Bible says the great cry, it was a great cry, God heard it. Now when God hears it, he tells Abraham, I must go down to see whether the cry that I've heard is indeed what it is. Now this is another mystery to me. An all-knowing God has to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah to find out if indeed what he has heard is true. This is another mystery to me. I don't really understand it. But the Bible says that God stays behind with Abraham, and his angels, the two, go. The reason they're going is to confirm the cry.
Yes.
You're with me so far?
Mm.
Okay?
Mm. Mm.
Now, those were not your normal angels.
Yes.
They were not your normal angels. And I'm going to, because in the counsel of God, there are sons of God, there are angels of rank that are involved. Eh?
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
In parts of scripture, they're referred to as watchers.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
But there are also councils where men on earth and saints who have passed on, are also present, or they are part of. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm going, because I've given you Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 to 21. Eh? Give me 2 Chronicles 18, 18 to 20.
2 Chronicles 18, 18 to 20. Again he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith?
Okay, now, this is a story. Ahab has done a lot of evil before the Lord. Many people know it. The interesting thing is that Ahab has 400 prophets who are willing to tell him whatever it is that he wants.
Mm.
There's a prophet in jail, in the dungeon, called Micaiah,
who
is called up. He has a vision while in jail. And in that vision, he's caught up to the heavens and he sees a council meeting. You with me?
Mm.
And he sees a council meeting. And in that council meeting, there's a discussion.
Mm.
And the Lord asks, who shall I send? Okay?
Mm.
To cause confusion amongst the prophets that Ahab has.
Mm-hmm.
And a spirit comes up before and says, I shall do it. This is also another mystery. Okay? A lying spirit comes. And so the Bible goes on to say, so Micaiah, please understand that these prophets, these 400, could prophesy, they could see in the spirit, but their levels of seeing, they could not see activity in the realm of God. They could see in the spirit at some level, but they could not even tell that a lying spirit had come upon them. All right? So, this guy sees a council meeting in the realm of the spirit that has been set up. All right? I'm going to give you another example. Daniel chapter 4, verse 13 to 17.
Daniel,
I have to stress my point.
Daniel 4, 13, 17. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whosoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men.
Now, verse 70 is actually the heart of it all. I just needed the story. Because you need to understand that this story is about a vision or a dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, he sees a watcher come down and cut down a tree and leaves only the stump. But verse 17, read it again, is the most important.
This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the bestest of men.
So, you see, in heaven, there was a judgment that was brought before Daniel, before Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel is interpreting. He says, if you, later you would read, he says, if you humble yourself, this thing won't come on you. But if you don't, it will. And he says, this decree came not just from God, but from watchers. Then he says, and holy ones. You with me?
Yeah.
There is a council in the spirit. There is a courtroom session. There is a council that determines decrees and things that happen on the face of this earth. I'm telling you. Read for me Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I have to stress my point.
Acts 22 to 23. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain.
You see? The determinant counsel.
Amazing.
Are you with me?
Wow.
So, look, you know, I need you to understand because I'm...
I'm
trying to set something here. I need you to understand
that
you see, on this earth, there are people who have, the schools of thought. When things happen on earth, does the Lord sit back and let men just decide? One, is that school of thought, okay? Because he has given men free choice.
Yes.
Okay, let me give an example. Let's say in an election.
Yes.
Does God simply sit back and let men make a choice? One, there's that school of thought. The second school of thought is that God actually reveals certain things that were hidden on earth to affect the outcome. All right? Or number three, God determined beforehand and moves upon the heart of someone to go according to his will.
Which is which?
So there are three schools of thought. Now, when we go to the story of Job, it's interesting. First of all, we can see all these three. Okay? First of all, there's a meeting in heaven. All right?
Yes.
God never intervenes with what the devil is doing to Job. He never personally comes in. Never. Not even once. Okay? But secondly, there are things he will do, the decisions he will make, because there was a council in the realm of the spirit, as you can see in the book of Job, that he, while he's not involved personally in what's happening to Job, he was involved before the things took place. Okay?
Yes.
So he's not separate from it. Now, I need you to understand, I want to give you the mind of Job. Most people read the book of Job but don't even understand what on earth it's about. They just think it's just about suffering. Here's why Job's friends were wrong. And Job was right. But God later comes and rebukes Job. There are literally, in terms of human beings, there are four characters. Five characters. There is the three friends of Job. There's Job. Then there's Elihu. The young man that finally comes out and says, man, I've listened to, I thought with old age wisdom comes, but there is a spirit in men. Then he begins to speak. All right? You with me? Job understood by his relationship with God in keeping himself pure and holy. Okay? And this is amazing, because this is before the time of the law.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So he's going through certain practices to keep himself righteous before God. When this thing comes upon him, he doesn't know that the devil is involved.
True.
The entire book of Job, when Job is discoursing, He refers to the wisdom of God, the might of God. He refers to how God can do all things. But then he keeps on asking that he could have his chance to stand before God because he's certain that he has done nothing wrong. And he's indeed right. He has done nothing wrong. There are statements that he makes. He says, oh, that I wish that I could stand before the Lord and you know, plead my case, you know, because he's certain. Now, the Job is implying that God, for all his knowledge, has somehow fallen asleep at his will. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that you're great and so on, but I think I need to remind you on this one here, maybe you've missed it just a little. Are you with me? Now, his friends come in to tell him that the only reason this thing could have happened to you is if you've broken some decree or something. Okay? And they were wrong. Because they only knew God from one side, one angle. Are you with me?
Yes.
Then Elihu, the young man, comes in. And one of the first statements he makes, he says, Job, you're speaking words absent of knowledge and wisdom. That's what he tells him. Then you look through the entire time. Elihu speaks, Job 38, Job 39. He speaks, and Job 33, 34, Elihu is speaking. 35, 36, he's speaking. And the entire time he's saying, if God, you know, knows how the clouds operate, if God knows the deepest parts of darkness, if God knows this, what makes you think that he's not aware of your situation? So Elihu's point was, we might not know the reason why you're going through what you're going through, but I can assure you there is a
reason.
You understand? That's what he's saying. Job is saying, no. God, yes, knows all this, but me, I need to stand before him and plead my case, because here, he might have missed it. All right? But in all that, Job never once sinned against God, because he's questioning. You with me?
Yes.
Now, you go through the scriptures. Job 33, Elihu says, you're speaking words without wisdom. All right? Job 34, you're speaking words without wisdom. Okay? He goes on. Now, in Job 38, verse 2, you have it there?
Job 38, 2, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?
Imagine, God shows up. That's the first thing he says to Job. Who is this that darkens counsel with words absent of knowledge? Then he goes on to say, gird up your loins. I want you to imagine, this is the God of... And the Bible says that God comes in a whirlwind. Now, I like to read this because I need you to... When I read books like this, I need you to have imagery in your mind. Don't just read it for the sake of reading it.
Yes.
God comes in a whirlwind. He's speaking to Job in that whirlwind. Now, remember the story where the devil came to Lucifer. The devil came to Jesus, all right? And began to tempt him. And when he was tempting him, he took him to the pinnacle, showed him things.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Took him to a mountain, showed him things. All right?
God,
I want you to imagine that's what God is doing before Job. He's not just standing there and talking.
Yes.
So he says, gird up your loins. Then he first takes him into eternity and shows him the cosmos and says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the sons of God sang for joy? He's showing him this. I want you to imagine that imagery.
Yes.
Showing him. He first takes him into eternity. Okay? And he's trying to get him. He's saying, where were you? Explain that to me. Do you have this knowledge? After that, that's Job 38. In Job 39, from verse 1, he leaves the constellations, the cosmos, the spirit realm, eternity, and now comes to the realm of men where Job is aware. And starts by saying, can you tell me where the wild goat gives birth? Now he has gone to... gone now to his realm.
Yes.
You think you know. He takes him to that realm. Remember, we started Job 38. Takes him to the cosmos. Job 39 takes him to his realm. And asks him questions. In Job 40, Job somehow gets a chance to intervene. And says, I repent. I have spoken words without wisdom. He says it. But I want you to imagine, as he's speaking, God interjects and continues.
Not yet.
Gird up your loins. You understand?
Wow.
He says, gird up your loins. Now, Then he says in verse 10, he says, therefore, adorn yourself with majesty. All right? In other words, take the place of God and see if you can put judgment on the face of this earth the way I do. So at first he shows him the cosmos, then he shows him his realm, then he says, why not? Take up the place of God if you think you can. All right? Then in verse 41, he starts talking about mystical creatures. He says, tell me, do you know where a Leviathan hides? Tell me. Are you with me? Then in verse 42, I mean chapter 42, Job now says, my ear had heard of thee. Now my eye has seen thee. I repent in dust and ashes. Are you with me? Now, yes, I'm trying to show you something. That this is a book that has a minor theme about knowledge. That there are things that God keeps to himself. There are things that, and imagine the book ends without God ever explaining why he allowed Job to go through what he went through. But the idea of it all is that God is sovereign.
Yes.
All right? He rules by decree. All right? In the realm of the heavens, there are things before the will of God is brought here on earth. Jesus gave that prayer. He said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What he's saying there is that the decree is made in the realm of the spirit. A man is supposed to pray those decrees down first in line with their life. You know, there's a difference between a prayer that says, Father, please help me. Father, I want to know. And a prayer that says, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Let your will be manifest. Guide my feet. Let the steps of the righteous be ordained by you. You know, you understand? You're bringing the will of God down. That's how Jesus was able to know where he was supposed to be, what he was supposed to do. He says, I do nothing unless I see my Father. Okay? So it's a mystery why an all-knowing God in the realm of the spirit would have a council. But he does. That council has angels. Like you see, like I've shown you in Daniel, those angels can bring judgment. One more. Read for me. Acts chapter 12.
Acts chapter 12, 21 to 23. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost.
Now, I'm going into the heart of what I want to discuss. Or what I've been discussing. Let me not say want to. What I've been discussing. This scripture, remember, it is very important. Herod tried to call himself God. People called him God. And an angel came and struck him down. And the Bible says, why? Because he did not give glory to God. Now, remember we read in the book of Job that there is a council in the heavens. You know, the Bible talks about the council of God, which I've been, you know, stressing my point on. There's a council of God. The Bible talks about the council of the wicked.
Yes.
Bible also refers to it as the council of the God ungodly. If you know Psalms 1, blessed is he who walks not in the council of the ungodly. All right? So there's a council of the ungodly. Then there's a council of men. The council of the ungodly, I will show you that the devil has his own council. Because he's a copycat that releases agendas on the face of this earth. Okay? To emphasize that, to bring across my point in line with that, I need to take you to Ezekiel chapter 28. Gosh. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 28. Did I give it to you? No, I did not.
Ezekiel 28, no.
Ezekiel 28... Maria, if you would, Ezekiel 28, chapter 28, verse 12 to 13, 14. Let's see if you can read it. All right.
Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou shalt seal up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was with thy cover. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created.
All right. Now, thank you, Maria. Now, I want you to understand something. We've read something. Remember in Job we said Satan appeared amongst the sons of God.
Yes.
I want to focus on Lucifer for a moment. In heaven, before the fall, Lucifer had a number of offices, as many of you would know. He was an archangel. He was a cherub. He was a worshipper. He also had a priestly function. Now, many people don't know this. There are angels in the realm of the spirit that take on priestly functions. If you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, as the saints begin to pray, their prayers go as incense and enter a bowl that an angel is holding before God. Then it comes as sweet incense. That is a priestly function that an angel has. So the devil had a form of a priestly function, and I'm going to prove it to you through scripture. I really want to finish this thing so that the Bible says, now please understand that God, I remember when we started, I said that there are things that God keeps secret to himself.
Yes,
to himself. He keeps them to himself.
Yes.
From the very, very beginning, one of the very first secrets God kept was hidden in the name of Lucifer. Tell me, any names of angels you know in the Bible?
Raphael.
Raphael is not mentioned in the Bible though.
Gabriel.
Yes, Gabriel and Michael. Those are the two angels that are mentioned by name along with Lucifer. The understanding we have from experiences and from biblical study is that Lucifer, as far as we know, is the only angel who did not have L in his name. You know what L means?
No.
El Elyon, Elohim, God. El means God in Hebrew. Okay, that's why Michael,
Gabriel.
Gabriel, okay, Daniel, and the no. Okay, so there's El. But in Lucifer, God's name was never there. You understand? And so from the beginning, because God's name was not in Lucifer's name, God knew that he would fall off. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So named him Lucifer. Now Lucifer means light bearer. Okay. Now I'm getting somewhere with this. Every chief angel in the heavens has a nature and a name linked to an aspect of God. So they're not just randomly named. So Gabriel means strength of God. If you saw Gabriel in scripture, you would see a real replication of the strength of God. Oh, you understand? And if you read through experiences of people who have actually had experiences with the actual Gabriel, you would see the strength of God exuded. Michael means one who is like God. Okay, so when you meet Michael, you would feel like you've met
God.
Are you with me?
Mm.
Now, Lucifer, the action that stood out was light bearer. Now, I need you to understand, the Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light.
Yes.
Scripture goes on to say that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. Notice Lucifer is referred to as light bearer, but he is not the light.
Correct. Just the bearer.
He is just the bearer of the light. But it was an unction within him that God gave him that he would express, especially when there was worship. And because the Bible, because the scripture that we've read, said he would walk amongst the firestones. Are you with me? So as he walked, his light exuded. All right? He illuminated. You with me? This is the origin of Illuminati.
Wow. we didn't see that coming.
You did not see that coming. I was trying to get all the way to this point.
Hallelujah. Yeah? Hallelujah.
This is the origin of Illuminati. Illuminati is the council of the wicked. The council of the ungodly. Are you with me?
Yes.
Illuminati is the overarching council. Within it, there are many councils. Or, I'll give you examples. There's the Council of Foreign Relations. You will hear about it. There's a Council of 300. All these fall within the Illuminati. Their brackets. There's a Bohemian Grove.
Yes.
Okay. If you've heard mentioning things that some people have not heard. So there's the Bilderberg Group. They're just aspects of the Illuminati. Okay. The Illuminati is the overarching council itself. But these are just aspects of it. Please understand that all these are aspects, but New World Order is the agenda.
Yes.
Of the Illuminati. Okay? Okay, so let's go through this again. So you have the Illuminati. Then within the Illuminati, you have all these other mini aspects. Okay? Whose aim is to ensure that the agenda is fulfilled.
Yes.
One of the aspects of the agenda in this time, right now, of the New World Order is the Great Reset. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm breaking it down. Okay? All right?
Yeah.
So, all over the world, there are individuals that belong to this Illuminati. Okay? It's not just some random. It began from a name in the realm of the spirit. Okay?
Yes.
Now, the Bible says, that is another discussion all by itself. I promise I'll do a podcast on Illuminati. And I'll use the Bible. I like to use the Bible. Now, if you look through scripture, the Bible says that Lucifer is in the presence of God. He's shining bright. Maria just read for us. He had certain stones that he was wearing. Now remember when I was teaching on beautiful garments?
Yes.
I explained that the high priest would put on the ephod.
Yes.
Remember how many stones it had?
12.
Yeah, 12 stones.
Yes.
Now Maria, you're going to read for me. Count for me the number of stones there. The ones that Lucifer is wearing.
There are 10.
Okay. There are 10. Okay? Now you need to understand that he doesn't have all 12. And this is, first of all, I would like to say that this is why he had a priestly unction. Because he was ordained with stones.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
He was a priest of a sorts. But, can I go into this?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
So he was a priest of sorts. Now, there's just so much here. First of all, we need to go back and look through scripture. In Exodus chapter 28, I didn't give it to you. I don't think I give it to you?
Yes, 28, I did. 16 to 20.
Read it for me.
For square it shall be being doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbanock. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper.
Sorry for making you suffer with those words.
I'm telling you. They shall be set in gold in the enclosings.
Now, there were four rows. You're with me?
Mm.
They name all the stones. If you go back to the stones that Lucifer had, you go back in your private time. There's an entire row missing. I wish I had time for this. There's an entire row missing. You see, the way those stones were given in their order, they attached in Exodus 28, you attach a tribe to every stone.
Correct.
Okay?
Mm.
So Reuben was the first stone that's mentioned, and then the last stone is Benjamin.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
You're with me so far?
Yes.
Read for me Genesis 49. Did I give it to you? Genesis chapter 49.
Genesis 49, 14 to 20?
Yeah.
Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that the rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, and he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties.
Okay. Now, I want you to pay close attention, because remember I told you each stone had a tribe
attached to it, yes.
The entire row that is missing on Lucifer are these three tribes right here. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there are stones that are missing. There's a stone that was added, because she said there are 10.
Yes.
One of the stones that was added there is gold.
But
gold is not a stone on the priestly. It's not a stone. Brilliant, everything was ordained in gold.
Mm.
So there are actually three stones missing on Lucifer's breastplate. Okay?
Yes.
Those three stones are these three tribes. And I'm going to explain to you why. There's a prophecy Jacob gives to his sons. He says, Dan shall judge his people. This stone cannot be there, because he will not judge. He will be judged.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? He will not judge. He will be judged. The next one is, God is a troop who shall overcome. He will not overcome. He will be?
Overcome.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Then he says, Asher is one of royal dainties. Royalty shall not come from him. You understand? These three stones are missing because they cannot be attributed to Lucifer. Okay. So Lucifer here is a priest of sorts, and he has these efforts, and this is the reason why these stones are missing from him. Okay? And the Bible says he used to walk amongst the firestones. He was lighting up. Okay? He had light within him, and he would light up from deep within him. Inside him, he had pipes, he had musical things that were put within his element. So whenever wind would blow or something, he would release some kind of music. We'll go into that some other time. Now, please understand that from a scripture perspective, whenever a high priest wanted to mark his territory that God has given to him, the Levites, they would take a walk to and fro their territory. And so here, Lucifer in the heavens was walking to and fro amongst the firestones. Now, when he fell, he's still walking to and fro. Looking for whom?
To devour.
Okay? He's marking territory. And he's taken, it's because it's a spiritual principle, because God tells Joshua, wherever thy foot shall touch, I have given you that land. This is why it's important, child of God, you need to understand that when you want something, you need to scavenge your territory. If the devil can do it, what about you? You need to go to the place that you want to have. Sit there, let your feet touch it, go to and fro in it as you see it. Because that's what the devil was doing with the territory of Job. Before he attacks, he claims it. Mama.
It's
even the walls of Jericho. Now, you're starting to see a trait.
I get it.
Very, 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 very. I'm trying to show you spiritual attributes that are extremely important when you want to take over anything on the face of this earth. Okay? Eh?
Yes.
Okay, I have to go quick because really we have gone beyond our time. Eh? Mm-hmm. But I was trying to show you. So it's for this reason now that we see a Lucifer now who's on earth. Okay? Please understand. I had a minister make a mistake sometime. Please understand that the devil is supernatural. The devil is a liar. The devil is a thief. He's a killer, but he's not a fool.
True.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Because even in Ezekiel 28, it says you are full of wisdom. He's not a fool. That's why you see, remember when we read the strategy?
Yes.
He was wiping out first the sheep. Then he wiped out the cattle, then the camel.
Mm.
How does he know this? It's because he was a priest.
Mm.
He had a priestly function, so he knows. Eh? Sheep, cattle, camel. Priestly function. It's for this reason why people who are demonic know how to access the spirit realm much easier than the children of God. First of all, the reason why it's very difficult for children of God is because God is very insistent that you first be intimate with him before you go deeper into things. The devil doesn't care about your intimacy.
Huh.
Also, he had a priestly function. So he passes this priestly function on to his priests, demonic priests here. And so they know the rituals on how to open portals in the realm of the spirit, how to move things. They know how to offer blood. Huh? You know, one day I'll show you through scripture that down there in the depth of earth, there is no water to drink. Huh?
Mm.
But people drink, demons drink blood. Have I taken a dark end? Don't worry. We're coming towards the end of what I want to share. So we've said that there are counsels in the realm of the spirit. And that everything that is happening for a reason. It's happening because there are different counsels on the face of the earth. Dark, divine, that each is bringing their agenda on the face of this earth. These counsels are custodians of secrets. They keep secrets to themselves. Please understand that God is all-knowing. But if I don't even know how to say it. God is all-knowing. But because this is the realm of men, spirits need men to what? To implicate, to ensure that their agendas are enforced. Understand this. Demons, spirits, can dwell in trees, in animals, but they prefer to dwell in men. I need to say that again so that you can understand this. A spirit can dwell in a tree. I've seen it before. A spirit can dwell in a tree. A spirit can dwell in an animal. A spirit can dwell in any object that is not human. That's why there's technology that is coming soon that will have spirits in it. I'm telling you. Because the line between spirit and what? If you look through the book of Revelations, the Antichrist builds an image of the beast. The whole world marvels at how this image begins to what? It comes alive. Technology can have a spirit in it.
True.
I'm telling you. My spiritual father said something interesting some time back. In 2013, he gave a prophecy. He says there's a time coming where the line between spirit and natural is going to disappear. And yes. He said, and you're going to start seeing technology. And you ask yourself, but they're saying this is science. But isn't it spirit? Recently, I saw a car on YouTube. You sit, there's a car coming, you sit into it, and it will almost be prophetic. It will tell you what you've been doing, what you ate, where you were. Imagine a car. All right? Prophetic. And you ask yourself, but is this a car? Oh, it's a spirit. You understand? We're heading that direction. The line is being blurred. Okay? And so, the devil can, spirits would rather, however, come into human beings. Why? Because through humans, they can freely express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have the power to speak things into existence. By our minds, we can think things into existence. We're creation tools.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, as I conclude, I want you to understand that the devil knew that Job was a principality in his territory. And he either takes down the principality and raises his own, or bargains with the principality and takes over. You understand? So the principality that used to be for God works for him. And this happens a lot. A lot of men and women have given themselves up for maybe some cash, for sex, for whatever it is that the devil can offer them. All right? Now, these spirits, when they're in people, they mark territory. Remember the demoniac of Granada in the Bible? Jesus cast out demons out of a man. He was in a particular area. If you notice, madmen, not all madmen are just mad for the sex. Some of them, their mental issues are spiritual. That's why you'll find, notice, there's a madman I know in the area I stay. He never leaves his area. They know their territory. He never leaves it. He's mad.
He's mad enough to know he can't go beyond.
Go beyond his territory. If he was truly just mad for the sake of it, you would find him in Kampala. Yes. You'd find him. Yes. But he's always just within the same territory. Because the spirit that is on him knows its territory. They never... You see, spirits respect, divine and demonic, respect laws more than we do. We break laws all the time. The spirit realm does not. And so they mark their territory. It's for this reason then, you need to understand, it's for this reason then that you can tell what principality is over territory by the ideology that's predominant in that territory. Okay? Michael is the prince of Israel. Okay, over Israel, according to scripture. Michael is the prince over Israel. He protects it. Alright? But you will agree with me that there must be another principality over Israel as well, a demonic one. Because there are a lot of things within that nation. I've been to Israel. Many people are Jews. You know, the Jews are not only a religion, they are people.
Yes.
You can be a Jew without believing in God. You understand?
Yes.
It's like how you're Ugandan and you're Christian. Except for them, you can be a Jew, not believing in God. You're just a Jew. You understand? And so predominantly secularism is taking over. All right? There's a spirit that is trying to predominantly ease itself over the entire territory. All right? And that's why you need to understand that when you see the nature and the operations of men on the face of this earth in different territories, you can know what principality you're dealing with and how you can, what you need to do to bring it down. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've said a lot of things, but I said all this to set foundation for why, because they're custodians of secrets, why there needs to be spiritual espionage. Why spirits need to spy, and why men need to spy, and why you need to watch what you say, what you do, and how you also can be sent into a land to be a spy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. I've said a lot. We've come to the end of this. We're going to ask a few questions and see where we go from there. God bless. All right, we're back. We have a few questions. Shoot.
Yes, thank you so much, Rabbi, for opening our eyes to these new mysteries about counsels and knowledge and
the like.
And the like.
Yeah.
Now, I was seated back and I was thinking, as a Christian, how best can I utilize this counsel that sits high up in the spirit to have an influence in my life and put me at a position that is better than any ordinary Christian that does not know this knowledge?
That's a good question. Quick one, I'll say this, that the Bible says the heart of a king is in the hands of the Lord. You need to understand that whether you know it or not, everyone on the face of this earth is influenced by the decisions made in the heavenlies. Everyone. Prophets, when prophets prophesy, when they decree by authority, genuine prophets, and things come to pass, they're decreeing things that have been determined in the heavenly council. Now, the best way you can take advantage of it is, first of all, let's be clear. Not everyone attends the councils in the heavenlies.
Yes.
Not everyone. There are men on this earth who actually attend those councils, whether you believe it or not. They are men who actually attend those councils. In other words, they're involved in the decision-making of God. Okay? I believe, you know, it's a mystery to me why God, being all knowledgeable, would ask people, but I believe, especially when it comes to human beings, I believe that because we have his image, he is consulting himself. You understand that?
Yes.
And that depends, because but you have to reach a place where the Bible says it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Because apply to every single Christian.
Yes.
All right. There's some people God does not trust with money, he does not trust with certain decisions, because they're still very fleshy. Okay, so there are men who go up there and are involved in the decision making. If you don't have that level of intimacy and you haven't gone with God, you just enjoy the results of the decisions that have been made. And usually you would know these results. They're bestowed into your heart through dreams and visions, sometimes through perception. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. That's how the decisions that are made in the heavenlies are orchestrated on men and how you get involved in it. But my deep push towards you is hunger for more. Read through the scriptures and see guys who God would. The Bible says God does nothing without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. You can be in that category. You should desire to be in that category. Yeah. Second question.
Thank you, Rabbi. Just picking up from where you've left off in answering that question, my question is in relation to men, the different types of men, and the mantles they carry, the offices they sit in, and why the same honor cannot be accorded to all men. My example is from the book of Ezekiel 14:14, where he says all these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, even if they prayed, no matter how they prayed, they could only save themselves. Then you have another example of a man like Abraham, who is interceding and bargaining with God on behalf of a territory. And God says, okay, if this is that, yes, I'll go with that. So ideally, in this case, Abraham has more weight than these other men. So ideally, the same honor could not be accorded to these different men.
Yeah. And there's also another category. There's Lot, who could not even save himself.
There you
understand?
Go. Yes.
Okay. So there's Lot, who couldn't save himself. There's Noah, Daniel, and Job, who could save but themselves.
Yeah.
And then you have Abraham, who could save the city. Okay. Now, all that is their ranks in intercession. There are people who pray. A majority of Christians fall in that category. They just pray. Then there are intercessors. An intercessor is a person who takes on the will of God, who prays the will of God into a territory, their territory. And as they pray, the will of God is dispensed into the territory. Okay? Intercessors have the burden of the territory on them at all times. There are people, for example, who pray for Uganda. It's a territory that is upon them. Now, I'm not just talking about, please understand, you might be listening to me and you say, I pray for Uganda, so I'm an intercessor. No. Okay? Intercession is more than just praying. It's actually being able to read burdens, read moods of God, and dispel the will of God through prayer. We'll teach that when we talk about prayer. So, the intercessors. In the Bible, there are people who interceded and stood in the gap for people. Right?
Yes.
They can stand in the gap for a nation. So Daniel, for example, falls into the category of an intercessor as well, because he stood in the gap for the children of Israel while they were in Babylon.
Yes.
Okay, so he's an intercessor.
Mm.
Then you have, as you grow higher, you go into what they call watchers. Watchers are people who watch over a territory. So they don't just intercede and pray for God to dispel his will. Nothing happens in that territory without their knowing or say so. The devil will often attack watchers. Watchers are the ones who sound an alarm. Human beings, they sound an alarm. Watch out, Uganda, this is going to happen. Or California, or wherever you are, South Africa, Tanzania, this is going to happen. Watchers. There's a big blessing when a nation has a watcher. Some nations don't have watchers. Or if they're there, they're fast asleep. Okay? A watcher is a person who guards the territory of the nation. Okay? Samuel also fell in the category of a watcher. Because the Bible says as long as he was alive, the Philistines could not attack Israel. That's a watcher. Alright? Then the highest level is a judge, which where Abraham falls. Judges have such a union with God that when they speak, okay, they speak God's word. They don't need, interestingly, they don't need to ask God for permission. Okay? They will speak of our territory and something will happen. For example, Abraham was able to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
Elijah says there shall be no rain. It doesn't matter whether there were prophets in that nation, what rank they were. The man is a judge. He just speaks and it is done. Now, it's for reasons like that that we need to accord honor to men who fall in higher ranks and can influence a territory more than we do. This is the reason why we need to respect certain anointings. Because we do not know how the presence of anointings in different nations all over the world have protected those nations. I know men of God. I know certain men of God who the enemy cannot allow to enter, even step in Europe. And I'm talking modern day. They're on a list. They're not allowed to step in Europe. Because they know the moment these chaps step in Europe, the territory is taken. And for those who know, Europe is badly off. True. Badly off. Churches have been turned into clubs and so on and so forth. Okay? So it's for this reason that we need to pay close attention. Often we will see these ranks in men based on how they influence a nation and their territory.
Thank you.
Are we done?
Yep.
All right.
We
are. That was wonderful. I pray you've learned something. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the RDM podcast. Join us next time to discover more secrets, dimensions, and depth. To find out more about Rabbi Daniel Malinga Ministries, please visit www.rabbidanielmalinga.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram @RabbiDanielMalinga.